The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I really struggled a lot with feeling so lonely, feeling like a failure as a mom, feeling like, God, I cannot be a mother today. I am tired, I'm not getting sleep, I'm hormonal.
I had children who were ADHD, ODD, OCD, you know, all the letters, and I had no idea what to do with them. And I remembered thinking, God, if you get me through this, I am going to help other moms.
Encouraging moms not to face the challenges of motherhood alone. Next.
Today, I'm James Robinson. I'm not looking near as good on Life Today as normally because Betty is not here. I think most of you know that we lost our youngest daughter, Robin, 3 days after Christmas and had her funeral the second of the new year. From the time of that service, Betty and I have never stopped ministering to you, trying to put loving arms around a hurting world. And Betty said to me the last couple of weeks, said, James, I just feel like I just need just kind of me and the Lord. Could I just spend that time? And I'll be honest with you. I find talking to people in a large gathering or a small setting or on television, I'm comfortable. For Betty, it's not that way. She sometimes teases me and says, you're going to take me kicking and screaming all the way up there to the studio again. And that's not quite the case, but it's not something that comes natural or supernatural. She's here by divine assignment. But she says, I just want to be alone. So I know you understand that. And we've got a couple of women that I know understand that. I love the title, but I really love the subheading. The book is called Desperate, because there's a sense of desperation that these women observed, and very real, on the part of women, on the part of mothers, oftentimes young mothers, mothers period. But it's subtitled, Hope for the Mom Who Needs to Breathe. And there's a mom that looks like she's breathing, kind of what Betty needs right now. And it's written by Sarah May and Sally Clarkson. And Sally helped Sarah like a godly mentor. A whole lot of what Paul was talking about when he talked about those who the elders or the older, both men and women, are to reach out to the younger. And he really, really challenged women to do that. Well, that's the case here. Would you welcome Sally and Sarah to Life Today? So glad to have you.
We're glad to be here.
I want you to cover as much ground as you can. And I really want our viewers to know that you're real serious about helping. Mm-hmm. And I believe you can help. And since you got help, Sarah, would you agree there's help here in hurting women who want to breathe and need to breathe can get help?
Yes, absolutely. I think so. I think that they just need friends. They need to be around people. And especially finding a mentor is of tremendous, tremendous help for a mom, especially a young mom with little kids at home.
Now, you all met mm-hmm. on the internet. Blogosphere, is that what it's called? How did you meet, really? Tell me about it. Tell me what brought you together. I want to know.
Well, I started a blogging conference, and I had read some books from Sally, and she had no idea who I was, but I emailed her thinking I might never get a response, and I said, would you come and speak at my blogging conference? I would love to have you there. And to my surprise and happiness, she mm-hmm. said yes. So she came and she spoke at the blogging conference, and after the conference, I get a call from her. And she says, I'm just wondering, Sarah, after watching you and getting to know you a little bit, have you ever been mothered? And I thought, well, that's an odd, you know, question to ask. You don't know me that well. But no, I mean, actually, I haven't been really invested into and poured into and mothered, not so much.
What about your situation? Because when you ask that specifically mm-hmm. and you answer so specifically, mm-hmm. not really, where was mother for you?
My mom was an alcoholic, and she was just a wounded person, and she chose to go to alcohol for it. So for 20 years, she was an alcoholic. Now, she's sober now, but during those growing up years and very formative years, I didn't have that nurturing and all of that sort of thing. And so Sally stepped in and said, well, I would like to invest in your life. I believe that God has laid you on my heart, and I want to walk alongside of you. I'd like to mentor you, be your friend, be an advocate, and really just get to know you. And I thought she was just being nice, but she wasn't just being nice. She called me every week, and we talked several times a week, and now it's been 2.5 years.
So why did you do that? It was some kind of a sense of discernment, or did you get some spiritual message?
I cut my teeth as a young Christian on discipleship. The week after someone shared Christ with me, they said, now you need to go start a group. So to make a long story short, I had been teaching small groups, I'd been in missions, and then I'm going to fast forward a little bit to the mothering area. I thought God wanted me to do something really brave for Him. But when I was praying as a young mom, God, what do you want me to do for your glory? And He said, would you raise these children? Would you teach them the kingdom of God secrets? Would you teach them my love, incarnate beauty and truth and goodness in your home? And as a young mom, I thought, well, I guess I will. You know, it seems pretty
different. Now, who are
different.
These children he's referring to?
I
your
have
children?
Four children. I had three okay. children in less than 5 years. I had never changed a diaper. I only had brothers in my home. So I thought, really, didn't you want me to do something important for you, Lord? Mm-hmm. But because of my discipleship background, I really understood that I could build a real sense of faith and inspiration and excellence into their lives. So I poured my lives into my kids, but it was so hard because I had no mentors. I had no one helping me. I had no one that ever babysat. I had children who were ADHD, ODD, OCD, you know, all the letters, and I had no idea what to do with them. And I was depressed several times, could hardly get out of bed. And I remembered thinking, God, if you get me through this, I am going to help other moms. And so I already had my grit out when I met Sarah Mae, because we had been doing 17 years of moms conferences, and we trained moms because we
felt... Is that why you asked her to speak, because you knew about what she was doing in the moms conferences?
I didn't know how vast it was. I didn't know to the extent, but I knew that she'd written books for moms, mm-hmm. and I had one of those, or a couple of them. And so,
but the thing I loved, I mean, I loved Sarah Mae. She was bright, she was connecting people, she was lovely, and I just saw this vast potential in her. But I thought in my heart, I bet she's like me. She is doing these great things. Who is helping her be a mom? Who's being a friend to her and loving her and building into her? And honestly, I had never asked anyone that question in my life. but I just kind of sensed there was something in her life, background, whatever. And I thought, if she, with such a heart as hers, had somebody who would give her the components of motherhood, of teaching her how to love, how to be relational, how to train, how to inspire, how to enjoy her home as a great place to be. Honestly, all that was just in the background, and just at the moment, the Holy Spirit just said, you need to call her.
Well, you had a deep desire to help others, and yet there was a desperate need in your own life.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times we do find our own needs met when we focus on meeting the needs of others. Mm-hmm. But those needs still need to be dealt with.
Yes.
I think that a lot of times the desire to receive love is best enhanced, encouraged, the fire, let's say, fanned appropriately, when you begin to give love, mm-hmm. when you begin to give attention to people who need attention.
That's so true.
It's amazing how oftentimes that you find yourself being the beneficiary of your attempt to help others, they help you.
Yeah.
So really, the sincerity of your heart to help others mm-hmm. revealed a deep need there that, in fact, when she stepped up and was willing to meet it, don't you feel like it has enabled you now to more effectively and in a more meaningful way actually minister to these women that you were bringing together? So
yeah.
you're using your ability, but mm-hmm. now with more insight,
yes.
you're able to do more and be more effective.
Yeah, well, what it really did was I was lonely at home and I was finding life in the online world and with these other women. But what really needed to happen was I needed to find life with my own family and my children and locally. And Sally is really who stepped into my life and helped me to do that, because I was escaping. I was finding it elsewhere. And I needed a friend. I needed somebody to walk alongside my real life so I could be present and fully alive in my real life with my family. And then out of that, I can pour into others. But the goal wasn't to keep, you know, doing the conference and pouring into these women, not at this season. The goal was to turn back to my family and raise my children. That was
You
really
found
cool.
responsive yielded clay in
well,
Sarah?
The reason I love these blogging women, they're self-motivated, no one pays them. They have something to say, they're moving. It's so fun to move with these women who already want to have an impact. And plus, it's just so much fun to have, as you said, when you pour in, you get blessed. And Sarah May and I almost talk too much on the phone because we love the Lord, we have so much fun. And she came to my house and we literally played for 3 days. She was with my kids and my husband. And so I do think that one of our messages, one of our desires, is to tell women to take the risk. To if you need a friend, you probably need to call someone, because every group I've ever had, we've moved 17 times, 6 times internationally, I've had to start. And so what we have realized is that we both needed to take a risk. She needed to respond. Mm-hmm. I needed to be faithful. And because of that, literally, we've been blessed. We get this book project. We see other women coming together because we responded to what the Holy Spirit put in our hearts to do.
What do you want mothers to hear? I mean, you've expressed a real sincere need to, for a mother, mm-hmm. And to feel that emptiness mm-hmm. appropriately. But you already cared about others. Mm-hmm. What do you want mothers to hear? They're watching you all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I know you want them, I would think, really desperate. It wouldn't be the right word to say you're desperate for it, but you are in deep concern for those who feel desperate, who need this love and this hope and this edification, this building up. So we'd want them to read the book, but what do you want them to hear? What do you wish every mother watching, in whatever state yeah. she's in, what do you want her to hear?
I want her to know that she's not alone. I really struggled a lot with feeling so lonely, feeling like a failure as a mom, feeling like, God, I cannot be a mother today. I am tired. I'm not getting sleep. I'm hormonal. I'm going to go crazy if I have to put my kid to bed one more time after she's gotten out 20 times. I just can't do this. And I didn't have help. And that was the hardest part. You know, on the worst days, I didn't have anybody to call and say, could you just come over for an hour? Could I just get like 20 minutes to breathe? I didn't feel like I had anybody to call. And I want moms to know that they're not alone, that they can ask God for somebody. You know, I prayed and prayed and prayed for a mentor. And Sally was God's grace to me. I mean, it was over and above what I ever expected or imagined. And then I even found a local mentor because she told me I needed to find a local mentor to actually be in my life daily. And I did with Ginny Walls, a friend of mine. But I want them to know they're not alone. I want them to seek out a mentor, seek out friendships, start a group, find a way to get among moms. I believe this lie that I was a loner. And Sally called me out on it and said, we are made for relationships. We are not made to be alone. And she was so right. And Sally, tell them what you say about a woman alone in her home.
Well, I think a woman alone in her own home with sinful children, messes, they want to eat and wear clothes all the days, and she's responsible for it, becomes mm-hmm. a target because they want, and there's no one there to take the pressure off of her. And so my takeaway is we have started Mom Heart groups. We have a momheart.org blog. We're trying to do training. We just say to moms, if you need a group, start a group. Because with me being moving 17 times, there were so many times I was lonely. And finally, the Lord, really, I was looking at his life and I thought, he initiated when we didn't even know we needed him. Mm-hmm. And so he put in my heart, you know, you need to initiate. So I would, you know, put the messes back, light a couple of candles, and invite everybody I knew in my little area, wherever I moved, and say, I need friends. Let's have fun. Let's get together. And literally that started groups in my home, groups all over the world. And I've just really, if I could say to moms, you aren't alone. God cares so much for you. I feel like we have unearthed things in the book, depression. Yes, people get tired of their kids. Sometimes you need to sleep at least 2 or 3 hours to feel better. But I feel like when women can get together and know they're not alone and know that these are big issues, they'll feel better. But I think that we are living in a time when we forget that God created us for community. He meant yes. for there to be an aunt and an uncle and cousins and grandmas and children to play with and friends. And I feel like some of these wonderful young moms have gotten used to a life that God didn't even create us to have, which is a lonely life without friends. So we're trying to break that cycle.
You know, sad, but a lot of churches are not functioning in a healthy manner, even mm-hmm. in the areas you're touching on. And I know, because I sense your spirit, which is, I think, God's spirit, you want the church to become that kind of community.
Yes, exactly.
God wants the church to be healthy.
Right.
In many ways, it's not. It needs to be made whole. Mm-hmm. The whole church needs to be made whole by the power of the Lord mm-hmm. and His Spirit working in us. So if you want to get the book, it's in the bookstores, but if they wanted to go to your website, let's say, and find out, because you indicated if they want to start a group, you could obviously give them some resources, not just the book, but also some communication resources online or whatever. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are.
Where would they go? Online, where would they go if they wanted to know how you all might be involved in helping them start a group, with a group, having, let's say, some kind of an agenda for them?
The main place I would say to go would be momheart.org. In momheart.org, we have 27 writers, and they all have young children, old children. They come together, and they try to address those issues of the heart. We both have our own blogs as well that are connected to that, but momheart.org is specifically made for creating groups. We have hundreds of groups all over the world, different languages of our books. And so I would say that for me, that they would get connected, learn how to be trained, go start a group, and be encouraged every day.
Well, here is the book, and there is the website, too, there on the screen. And I hope you'll get it. You want to say thanks to these beautiful women for being such a blessing and an encouragement to moms.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah. One more thing.
One more thing. I really, really, really want to encourage older women out there who've raised their children to be willing to step into the life of just one mom. Just imagine if all of the women in the church, you know, Titus 2 says, invest in the younger women, teach them how to love their husbands, to love their children. And if you all older women were just willing to pick one woman in your church who maybe needed it, and everybody did that, think about all the moms' lives that you could change, because we're raising generations, and you could be a part of raising generations and leaving a legacy for the glory of God.
Amen. You like that? I appreciate what you're doing, what you're saying. Again, here is the book, the website, and
DesperateMom.com has free resources, too.
Yeah, DesperateMom.com. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
That is.
I want to thank you both. You're a blessing.
Thank you.
I appreciate what you're doing. I want to show you something. If you watch Life Today, and I'm really glad you do, I so often wish that I could take your hand. Now, I don't care how you look right now. You say, I just got up. I listened to you early in the morning. That's all right. That's fine. Listen to me. I want to tell you how important you are to God, how special you are to Him. But I also want to tell you how special you are to us, not only Betty and me as a couple, not only me as a minister who really loves God and loves people, but how important you are to people God wants to love. And mission workers who have given their lives to share the love of God, but you enable them to do it. Now listen closely. Listen to a mother. Listen very closely.
When we first sat down to hear her story, we were afraid we wouldn't be able to. Anna spoke in almost a whisper, but she wasn't sick. After burying her 7-month-old son that morning, her voice had given out, in grief screamed. That's what happens at the loss of a child. Pain erupts from so deep within that it leaves you doubled over, almost lifeless. We were spared that sight, but when Anna later found her voice and her calm, she was able to share a bit of the story.
Porque uma criança em casa é uma coisa que faz muita falta na vida. Diz que meu filho já foi funerado, assim não tenho força no corpo. Se todo dia chorar, está chegando lá para falar, meu filho chora muito. Sim, tá, para mim, porque para cansar essa aqui, os 4 anos, pegar de 5, parece que eu cansei essa. E também aquele também que faleceu, também fiz 3 anos. Pegar também de 4, também quando alcançamos aquele que faleceu.
Malnutrition. It's no incurable disease. But when you're staring it in the face, empty-handed, it might as well be. No one, much less an innocent like Anna's 7-month-old boy, should fall victim. While it's too late for him, we are determined that this mother will never experience it again.
You know, I'm listening there to the voice of Kyle Rogers, who, you know, really came to the Lord through our ministry. His mother, Jeannie, who was our soprano soloist for so many years in our crusades, accepted Christ when I was preaching as a young man and she was a teenager. And I'm listening to Kyle, who is an awesome father and husband, the father of five children. And there he is on the mission field, and that woman has just buried her little seven-month-old, and she's got another little boy, talking about others she knows. What Kyle has been looking at, the missionaries have taken our mission team with the cameras and all of the recording equipment to show you the real picture of need and suffering, because it is real. And they've just left areas where the drought that's prevailing in Angola is taking the lives of thousands of little children. It's unbelievable. And we've set up feeding centers to get relief to them, to literally save their lives and stabilize them so that they not only live, but they can have a future. And the missionaries are in place, ready to save those precious children's lives and their families. But the only way that they can feed them and care for them is for us to enable them to do it. Now, this drought in Angola is so serious that with the 400,000 that we've had in feeding centers now for several weeks and months, in order to maintain for the next months, we've got to raise the funds now. But we must add, I mean, it's critical, 25,000 more children right there in Angola because of the drought. Now, we knew that the missionaries were crying out on behalf of the children, just like that mother, because they have the burden, the compassion. And we said, God, we need a miracle. And we've had a miracle response. Someone has given us a $500,000, $500,000 challenge gift. They'll match everything you give today. If you could give $100, which we can feed 10 children with for the next months, we'll be able to feed 20. It'll double. If you could possibly make a $1,000 gift, and I pray you can, and I pray you will, I'm asking God to not only enable you to do it, but inspire you to do it. It'll be doubled. And rather than just reaching 100 that need the food, we'll be able to take care of 200 for the next months. Your gifts of $30, $50, or $100 enable us to feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for several months. Their lives depend on it. But we need to add 25,000 more. So we really need a miracle of love and support. You know, as you heard a mother, you know what Betty said before she said goodbye to me to come up here and tape the program. She said, I hope that my not being there would not cause someone perhaps not to watch or hear. And James, I pray that there'd not be anybody that for any reason wouldn't help, because Betty so longs to help the mothers and the children. Well, I pray so too, because I know Betty's heart's here, even though her heart's being healed from the loss of our own daughter. Listen to me. Those precious children, their very lives depend upon the love of God in us. Would you dial the number right now, take your bank card, use it like a check, make the largest gift you can, a love gift. You write a check, make it to Life, because that's precisely what you're giving. Lifetoday.org, if you want to go online. And right now, almost half the gifts that come in are coming in by people going online. Well, we need you to do what God's put on your heart. Father, I pray every person who can will respond gladly. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much for your response. We've got some very special gifts for you to bless you in your spiritual life. We want to be a blessing to you, and always say thank you. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for making that special gift. It will be doubled if you'll call today.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to severe hunger. You can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a child's life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in our feeding program throughout Africa, we must immediately provide for an additional 25,000 children in the hardest hit areas of drought. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's friends have set a $500,000 matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed 3 children can be double to impact 6 children. $50 to help feed 5 children can be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children can be doubled to help feed and introduce Jesus to 20 children. As a thank you, we would like to send you A Good Word for a Great Day, a 365-day devotional providing a word of inspiration and promise for each new day. With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible to help engage your children and grandchildren in God's Word. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Let me remind you, the Brotherly Love bronze is being sent to those of you who will help us feed and care for 100 children. Actually, now it'll be doubled. If you can make a $1,000 gift, it'll be doubled to $2,000. A Good Word for a Great Day, devotions for every day. I love that. Over a cup of coffee or however you wake up in the morning, a good word for a great day. It's the Word of God. It's devotionals. We want to be a blessing to you, and we want to thank you so much for sharing life. Remember, desperate hope for mom, the mom who needs to breathe. Would you say thanks again to Sarah and to Sally for being a tremendous blessing to one another, but also to moms all over the world. And you can be a blessing. Thank you for being an answer to mothers' prayers for their children. Thanks for watching Life Today.
James and Betty Robison, July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as author and neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson, international Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, Pastor Robert Morris, author and speaker Christine King, and many more, including musical guests such as Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robison. Go to lifetoday.org. After hiding it for over 12 years, author Heather Kopp talks openly about her struggle with alcoholism. Sober Mercies, next week on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.